Thank you, Mr. Kanza. Good afternoon to everyone. Hopefully you're enjoying this fine weather. For those who may not know, but some do, one of my summer goals this year was not to kill my grass. All of my neighbors, I guess, on all three sides, have fabulous, lush, beautiful, well-manicured, the envy of any lawn care person, beautiful grass. I was about 70% successful this year of not killing my grass. So tomorrow will be spent making some repairs. But my neighbor was very kind. He said, "You did better than last year." In a split sermon that I delivered right after the Days of Unleavened Bread, I spoke about how the tongue is a beacon that lights the path to locate the intentions and the thoughts of our heart. We discussed the example of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was undone by his prideful statements, in fact, having his human spirit taken from him for several years. And we also recalled the story of Moses, who lost his self-control through statements of pride and had to suffer God's discipline. Being mindful of our speech and watching our words and being cautious about what proceeds from our mouth is useful both for us and for others. And by it, we're able to locate sources of pride. And as we discussed, the typical person will speak about 409 million words in their life and gives themselves plenty of opportunity to be defiled with the words that we use. And that's why King David prayed that God would set a guard on his mouth. As you'll recall, also James talks about the tongue being a little member that boasts great things. In that message, we spent most of our time discussing how pride enters our speech through boasting. By contrast, we also learned that the wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We didn't explore that in the prior message, but that's what I plan to do today. What are the characteristics of a wholesome tongue? Scripture tells us a lot of what not to do. Don't lie. Don't be deceptive. Don't slander. Don't slur. Don't speak evil. Don't speak in attitudes of pride. But a fundamental principle of Scripture is that it's not sufficient just to stop doing something, but to replace the ungodly with good. How can our tongue be used for good? That's the purpose of this message. So let's define what a good and wholesome tongue is. And that, according to Scripture, it is a tree of life. So what makes a tongue wholesome? To answer this question, I plan to quickly survey how Christ and God use their mouth. And then we'll describe two broad traits of a wholesome tongue: what it speaks and how it speaks. For those taking notes, this sermon is chock full of Scripture for a very good reason, as you will see in just a minute. And some we will refer to and some we will read. We certainly won't turn to everything. So let's start with a brief survey of how Christ and God use their mouth. As you know, we strive to model ourselves in all ways after Christ. So it's fitting that we consider his example, and we'll take Scriptures from both the New Testament and the Old Testament. And we'll discover six aspects, and I'll just survey them quickly. First, they use their mouths as a giver of wisdom, understanding, and right teaching. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Matthew 5:2 says, "Then he opened his mouth and taught them." And that's from where he starts the Beatitudes. Characteristic number two: he spoke with grace. As you'll recall, in Luke 4, he has the opportunity to speak in the congregation. And in verse 22, when he had finished reading, it says, "So all who bore witness marveled at his gracious speech, which proceeded from his mouth." And they couldn't believe it was from the son of Joseph. In fact, that's a prophecy from Psalms 45 in verse 2, which says, "Grace poured upon his lips." Christ was known as a gracious speaker. Aspect three, his words praise God. In John 17, he says, "I have glorified you on the earth." And in John 5, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. And so his practice was to praise God. Next aspect, he was appropriately silent from time to time. As you know, there's a scripture that says, as a lamb before the shear is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But he doesn't always remain silent. Another aspect, aspect five, is he tells the judgments of God and he executes those judgments. In Psalms 105, it says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And in Revelation 19, it says, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it, he strikes the nations. The final aspect, aspect six, equipped with God's words. In Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak everything that I command him. And the same comment is made in John 12. I will spare you that. But Jesus Christ spoke the words that God put into his mouth. So those are the six aspects. I know they're very quick. How can we apply those? I've reordered those six aspects to suggest an approach to how we can develop a wholesome tongue. And I've also dropped the one about being silent, since technically that's not using your tongue. Still, a highly recommended practice from time to time is to keep silent, especially when you have nothing wise to say. So, how do we start on the road to develop a wholesome tongue? First, we get words from God. Several people have had God's word put into their mouth. Christ, as we've discussed, was one of them, whose words originated from God. Also, the prophet Ezekiel and the apostle John both talk about having God's words put into their mouths. As it's described in Scripture, Ezekiel ate a scroll and John ate a book. And they both describe that experience as leaving a pleasant taste in their mouth, as having the taste of honey. Now, David, King David, expresses the same sentiment. If you would, please turn to Psalm 119. Because he, too, shares how eating God's words is a pleasurable experience. Most people don't like eating words, but in this case, it's a good thing. Psalm 119, very big chapter, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept your precepts. I have restrained my feet from the evil way, that I may know your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If God's words are sweet to the palate of the righteous, it's reasonable to conclude that if we base our speech on God's words, on the words that he gives us, others in the community of the righteous will delight in the things that we say. This is a wholesome tongue. In fact, God sees it this way. If our prayers make it to God, which means they've ascended to heaven, he views those as a sweet aroma. Many places in Scripture talk about our prayers being a sweet aroma. Prayers based on the words and the attitudes that we get from God are good and effective. If you want an example, which we'll look at a bit later, take a look at 1 Kings 3, and you can read about an effective prayer from Solomon. It specifically says of that prayer or his speech that the speech pleased the Lord. He used a wholesome tongue. If we find that we're getting disagreeable results from the things that we say, perhaps we're speaking our own words versus speech originating from Scripture. If you'll remember, Moses' speechwriter was God. God said to him, I'll teach you what to say. And indeed, he did it. He spoke the words that God told him to speak. And he needed that because he was in charge of speaking to the unrighteous, let alone righteous people, as God's representative. Speaking using the principles established in Scripture, which we receive from God, is the foundation of godly leadership, as we'll see in just a minute. But to do this, we must have God's words in our mouth. In Joshua 1, God encouraged Joshua by saying, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate it on it day and night," in verse 8. "And you shall observe everything that's in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success." Here God speaks to Joshua and to all of us about feeding on his law day and night. Why? So that his law enters our hearts. Well, why would he want that? Because of the obvious benefits. You know, there are obvious benefits to having God's law in our heart. It will fundamentally affect how we speak. Turn to Luke 6, please. God gives us his words through Scripture. We meditate on those things. It goes into our heart and has the following effect. Luke 6, 45. "A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Fundamental principle that we discussed last time. If we want to improve our speech, to have a wholesome mouth, we must improve what's in our heart. And we can do that by putting God's words in our mouth. That in turn will turn our speech into something sweet, both to God and to man. This is a fundamental principle of a wholesome tongue. With that baseline, then, how do we recognize a wholesome tongue? What does a wholesome tongue speak about? First, it speaks words that praise God. Solomon was a wise and humble man from the very beginning, and he was wise enough to know that he needed more wisdom. And so let's take a look at that speech in 1 Kings 3. And we will see an example of the praise of God being in our mouth. To great effect. Now, I counted up some statements. I have 9. I think you could actually justify 13, but we'll go from there. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father.'" That's a praise of God right there, number one. "Because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you." That's a praise of God, right? That he walks with man. It's a praise, nice thing to say. "You have continued this great kindness to him," another praise of God, and "have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Here's another one. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. And I am a little child. I do not know how to come in or go out. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen." All comments about God here. "A great people." God chose a great company of people. "Too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Verse 10, this speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon, that Solomon had asked this thing. This was a very effective prayer. Solomon was given more wisdom than anyone before him and anyone after him. And it is rich and lathered with praise for God. That is a wholesome tongue. In Psalm 149, David sings, we all know this one, we sing this song, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints." We're supposed to praise with a timbrel and a harp, We should praise with joy. We should sing aloud in our beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, is how it ends in verse 6. Praise of God is one of the things that a wholesome tongue can say. The writer of Hebrews encourages that we continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. You can find that in Hebrews 13. So, this is one place where we can start the beginning of actually applying having a wholesome tongue. But there's more that a wholesome tongue can say. Other things that can be said are words of wisdom, understanding, and right teaching. Proverbs 8 is about wisdom. It personifies of wisdom. And as she talks about, you simple ones, understand prudence. Listen, and I will speak excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. All the words of my mouth are righteous. This is how wisdom talks about using one's mouth. That's Proverbs 8, 4 through 8. Psalm 37 says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. That's Psalm 37, 30 and 31. As I mentioned, lots of scriptures, but I want to make sure that we're sticking very true to the words of God, since that's what we're discussing. So, a wholesome tongue is able to speak wisdom, understanding, and right teaching. And I see this as slightly a level above God, right? Once you've got praising God down, we can start working on words of wisdom, understanding, and right teaching. But there is a third level of how one can use a wholesome tongue, which are the words of God's judgments. And there's even more that you can say when properly trained. When Christ spoke, he told people the judgments of God. And more than just tell them, he clarified the intent of the law, which had been lost through the ages. And so a wholesome tongue shares the judgments of God for those that are responsible to do that. In the Old Testament, there were two classes of people responsible to share the judgments of God. They were the priests and the kings during the kingly period. Malachi 2 and 7, verse 7 says, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priests were trained and expected to deliver God's judgments based on God's word. Likewise, too, the kings were expected to judge and to speak judgments. An example of this you can see is in Proverbs 31 and 9, where a mother tells her kingly son, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. David promised God that after being restored, that he would teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, reproving people. And in fact, he asked to have God's judgments shown to him by righteous people. Look at Psalm 141, if you wouldn't mind. We're looking at sharing God's judgments from our mouth, something a wholesome tongue can do and should do. Psalm 141. First one, a psalm of David. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, a sweet smelling aroma. The lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, on my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not incline my heart to do an evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, reprove me. It should be a kindness. For righteous people, being reproved by somebody else should be viewed as a kindness, as something that is sweet. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil, the very best. and let my head not refuse it. So he wants to listen to the reproof that he's getting. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges, being the people that lead wicked people, are overthrown by the sides of the cliff. So they're down in the rocky places because their judges are leading them astray. And they hear my words, for they are sweet. So here David talks about receiving judgment and also sharing judgment, but in a way that people will listen. In this case, the unrighteous. We are kings and priests in training. And at some point, we will need to share the judgments of God. And our mouth needs to be trained to be able to do that. But a word of caution, should you go off and do that today, let's make sure that we've got the wisdom part nailed down before we go around sharing the judgments of God to other people. A wholesome tongue can speak about three things. It can speak and praise God. It can speak of wisdom and understanding and of right teaching. And it can share the judgments of God. The number one trait of a wholesome tongue is what it chooses to speak about. Doing it takes work. And to get to that position, one needs to feast on God's word. So his words are in our mouth, so that they can be digested into our hearts and so that we can speak words that are appropriate. I suspect that doing this excellently will take a lifetime. Is there a quick fix? Is there something I can do like right away? Because that sounds like lots and lots of work that takes a long time. Perhaps you are presently suffering the consequences of some foolish or unrighteous act. That happens to all of us. Or perhaps you're looking for something that you can implement today, right after church, or tomorrow, or for the rest of the week. Because ingesting the Word of God takes a long time. Another characteristic of a wholesome tongue is how it speaks. What it speaks and how it speaks. Now the weight of Scripture, there are so many Scriptures, anchor an identifying mark of a wholesome tongue. And if we can be trained to speak in this fashion, in this way, we will have made great progress. That characteristic is speaking words with grace. As we previously discussed, Christ's words were remarkable. People were in awe of his words because of their grace. Courteous, kind, pleasant, elegant, and tasteful. Now those that may say, well, didn't he rebuke people and call them brood of vipers and all that kind of stuff? Yes, we can discuss that at another time. But he is known for having a gracious mouth. It was one of the prophecies. And there are many, many scriptures that encourage this practice. Let's look at a couple. If you would turn to Proverbs 16. We'll pick up two. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. This is wisdom from the wisest person. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. They are like honey, which is how God's words are. In verse 21 of that same chapter, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of lips increases learning. Right? Reproving somebody in a way that is gracious actually encourages them more effectively in the way of righteousness, as David discussed. Ecclesiastes 10:12, here are a couple of others. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. He gets eaten by himself. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They know what is appropriate to say. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Colossians 4:2, verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside to the unconverted, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Proverbs 31:26 specifically calls out ladies. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Did you know kindness is a law? Now, like any quick fix, the practice of incorporating grace's speech won't last long if we haven't been working on the fundamentals, right? God's word in our mouth to our heart and back out of our mouth. Our heart will always show what will always come forth in our speech, no matter how hard we try to cover it up. But if we find that our words leave a sour effect rather than the taste of honey, perhaps focusing on gracious words will help so that we can leave a pleasant aftertaste. Or perhaps your words are a little spicy and not salty. Again, focusing on gracious speech will help. In Psalm 15, David asks the question about who will dwell with God forever. Who will be on his holy hill? His answer includes those people who have a wholesome tongue. There are other things that one needs to do, but wholesome tongue is one of those. And in preparing this message, I was surprised how often we went back to the book of Psalms. And I don't think that's because I have a personal bias for the book of Psalms, though it is a very good book. David was a man after God's own heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.